I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Let's get on to one or two final questions, which is, having got a product and having sourced the product, how on earth do I launch it these days on Amazon? Now, I know that you sold a business a while ago and that tactically there may be a couple of things you haven't done in the last few months, but broadly speaking, what is the right way to launch a product on Amazon these days?
Oh, man. So I'm going to try and condense a very high level concept that I expose in the Truth About Business book that all of you, by the way, please don't sell on Amazon or even think about it without reading this book. Seriously, like, this is 12 years of lessons that you can just cash in on and not have to deal with. Okay. So, all right, how to sell it. I'm going to zoom way out because most people are zoomed too far in and they're going to be like, oh, you need to do this with like your keywords, or you need to do that with the title. Like, no, zoom way out. Okay. This is way more important. So here's the deal. When you sell a product on Amazon, okay, you're not looking to sell just a product. You're looking to sell a product line. Okay, so you have to have what I map out in here is called a value ladder, essentially. And one of the most mic drop concepts that I just revealed actually a few months ago on a huge conference that I was speaking at with a bunch of entrepreneurs, some of them Amazon sellers. What you need to do is you need to stop making money off of just one product. Okay, so in other words, stop selling just one thing. Right. So everybody else is trying to do that. And that's fine and dandy. But like it then you just get in a price war with everybody. And it's just not, you're not going to win long term. So what you need to do instead is you need to sell the thing that sells the thing. Okay. And I show you the whole strategy. I'll give you a quick version of it, but I show you the whole thing in the Truth About Business book. But here's the deal. Instead of selling the thing, trying to make all your money off of the thing, sell the thing that sells the thing. Here's an example of doing this on Amazon. I got a buddy named Dave Lindenbaum. He sells the thing that sells the thing. Makes way more money. Here's how. He's got a, and guys, don't like sell this stuff now that he sells, but go do it in a different niche. Okay. But he's got he sells matcha bowls. Okay. And then apparently that's like, I think it's the bowl that you mash up the tea, the matcha tea in before you make your tea. Okay. I think that's how it works. And so he sells those, but that isn't how he makes his money. So that's his thing that sells the thing, all right? So he sells those bowls so that he can sell the next thing you need, which is, if you're going to mash up matcha tea in that bowl, what do you need? You need matcha tea. So he sells the matcha tea. And so the bowls are his thing that sells his thing. And I should have mentioned this earlier, but one of the reasons I got into the pet supplements was because it was a consumable product, which means that people are going to buy more of it. They're going to keep buying it. So we had about a third of our entire customers on average come back for more, which is really good. It means for every three customers you acquire, you get another one for free. That makes sense. So it's like a compounding thing over time. So it's the same thing with my buddy Dave's matcha tea. He would sell the matcha tea and a percentage of people would like it and come back and buy more, right? And he wouldn't have to do anything. Just let them have it. Okay. So here's where it gets really cool. He would sell the matcha bowls for, get this, he would make no money on the matcha bowls. Okay. So he would reduce his price of his matcha bowls to no margin for him. He would break even on it, which meant he would undercut everybody else selling matcha bowls. Why? Because they're trying to make their money off the matcha bowls, right? So he would undercut them. And then his people that bought his matcha bowls, a percentage of them would buy the matcha tea, which was his thing that sold the thing. And he would make all of his money on the matcha tea, okay? Not the bowls. So in other words, how many of you think that you could sell a whole hell of a lot more matcha bowls if you cut the price down by half, you took your margin out, and everybody else is sitting there scratching their heads thinking, how are you selling your matcha bowls for that price? I know what they cost. You're not making any money. How are you doing this? Well, play the game or get played. Okay, I show you how to in the Truth About Business book, but I'll give you a little glimpse there. So sell the thing that sells the thing. When I had my pet supplements, I did the same thing. I had a little trial package, okay, that I sold for cost. Or our bread and butter was selling our normal size 1 ounce and then getting people hooked on it. And then in our insert, we would let them know that they could buy a 4 ounce bulk version for basically 75% of the cost of buying. So it's like buying three, get one, the fourth for free. Okay. So like they could buy the bulk size for less, and that was off Amazon. Okay. Cause it was in the insert, right? So not only did I win by selling them a huge bottle of it, I also got to cut Amazon out of the equation. I got to keep 100% of it because I sent them to my store. And then the brilliance of that was, it really felt like bulk because I didn't put the label on the big bottle. I was like, hey, we're going to keep cost to lowest possible to pass the savings on to you. So I never had to have the expense of putting those labels on or printing those labels or whatever. And people loved it. Okay. So you get creative and you create these things that sell the thing. Then all of a sudden it takes the pressure off of having to make all the money from the thing directly. And then you can go and win the game just like Amazon does, just like Walmart does, just like Michael and I do.
Wow. Amazing. And when you say just like Michael and I do, I wouldn't say I'm doing that very well yet. I'm beginning to learn the art of that. I mean, it's early stages. The sad thing is, you know what? I've known about the theory of this is 2019 now. I think I was first taught the theory of this stuff, having a big back end and you know, breaking even or even paying up front in 2007. Sometimes that's how long it takes to go from having a nice theory that you know is really cool and you see other people using it to actually implementing it. So I'm kind of feeling both excited and a bit ashamed at the moment because I should know better. I haven't really been implementing this, but to be fair, again, it's a cultural thing, isn't it? The culture of Amazon sellers becomes very reinforcing, self-reinforcing with what Will Chernin calls the Amazon echo chamber, you know, the podcasts of which I'm one, I'm afraid, blog posts, Facebook groups, I also have one, you know, the masterminds that we chat to each other in, where, and I'm part of that as well. But the truth is that there seems to be, for some reason, an obsession amongst Amazon sellers who are otherwise, you know, I'm talking super smart people. I'm not talking about newbies or people who don't have analytical or business skills. But there's still an obsession with each product works in isolation to make a certain gross margin in and of itself. And that's all everyone obsesses with. And I couldn't agree more that actually, if you can just change one thing about that, it just means that everyone else is sitting there scratching their heads because you can't reverse somebody, you can't reverse engineer the business model from a Jungle Scout or Helium 10 or Viral Launch or whatever your favorite tool is, just looking at the individual products. And that immediately means that you're screening your business model from everybody else, whereas everyone else's business model is basically transparent to everyone else, right? And so I really think that's smart. I mean, tell me a bit more about the nuts and bolts of this. I mean, how did the numbers tend to stack up for you with the supplements or with, you know, I guess with Dave, you need to be careful with revealing stuff, but how does that look in practice compared to a sort of product by product approach?
Yeah, it's so good you bring that up because and here's the thing, guys that are listening, guys and girls out there, like everybody, no one talks about this. They don't. And it's not your fault if you didn't hear about this or if it's like a huge light bulb moment. Like, and this is just scratching the surface. You'll get the rest in the Truth About Business book, but all those big box course sellers, program sellers that teach you how to make billions on Amazon, they don't talk about this because they don't do it. Right? Like they make this one size fits all equation that Michael was suggesting where it's like, they get you to believe you have to have this margin or don't do it. No, that's not how business works. Okay. It's math. And it's like in the, I'll just give you the general rule. Okay. On the math, on the numbers, on the front end, whatever your like front end product is, your thing that sells the thing that has to, my rule is it has to break even at least. Ideally, you're profitable. A lot of times you can be profitable on the front end. But if you can acquire a customer essentially for free, meaning you break even on it. Okay. So if Dave sells his matcha bowls at break even and he's acquiring a customer for free, then it's just math and it's a matter of converting as many of those people into buying the next thing as possible. Because the next thing is complete margin, it's complete profit for you. Okay. Because you've already spent the money to acquire them. So there's various ways you can get them to buy, you know, the next thing. But at the end of the day, it's a math equation. It's figuring out, okay, I spent $0 to acquire this person as a customer because I broke even. And then 25% of the people that bought this thing, my thing that sells the thing, bought my next thing. That means that 25% of all people that come in and buy my thing are going to buy my other thing where all my money's made. So that's how you can forecast how much money your thing's going to make. And then you just work to deploy campaigns that get that conversion rate as high as possible so that as many people as possible are buying the next thing from the first thing. Okay, so just generally speaking, make little to no money on your front end thing so that you can scale the heck out of that. It's got to be highly scalable, by the way, meaning you can get a lot of units of it. You're not going to break stuff if you, you know, keep selling a crap ton of them. And then your next thing, or your thing that sells the thing that you've acquired a customer to then sell them the next thing, that's where all your margin is made. Hopefully that helps with the kind of the gist of it.
Yeah, yeah. And as I say, it's something that, that in the information marketing world was common even 12 years ago, but for some reason that, and I'm sure that in e-commerce, it's an absolute kind of mainstay of your thinking. Otherwise, it would be totally broken economically. It's just Amazon kind of can work without that. And therefore, I guess we end up, just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? Just because you can make money on individual products doesn't mean that's the best business model. So we're talking about the conversion. So obviously a critical thing in that model, if you're breaking even, so you're essentially acquiring customers or, you know, qualified leads, I suppose, essentially, if they're paying you no profit upfront for free, that's great. How do we get those conversion rates up from that to the first profit point, if you like, the first profitable products? What are the mechanisms that you recommend and that you've seen?
Yeah, to getting people from the first thing to the next.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for us, I'm a little bit old school. So for us, like one of the most valuable things was those product inserts. So we would get a ton of business from that. And we would get a lot of people to our store, not our Amazon site, but our like Shopify store from that. So now I'm not currently an Amazon seller. So I'm not up on like what's hip and working today kind of thing. But back, you know, year and a half ago, which isn't that long, we that was our biggest thing that cranked people over. And one of the ways we did that or pulled that off was because we had premium packaging. So we were premium product, premium priced. So we had premium packaging, meaning we had, I don't have one on me, but it would be a little bottle that the supplement came in and we would put it in a burlap sack, little mini one. Okay. And then we put that inside of a little jewelry box. So it's like, imagine a little, you buy a supplement from Amazon, by the way, and 99% of them, the same exact supplement packaging would come just a little bottle, maybe in a little plastic bag inside of a padded envelope. That's how it would show up. Ours came in a burlap sack inside of a very nice jewelry box, with padding. And then it had a nice label on top, and then it was stickered shut. So it was literally like gift wrapped, in other words. And the main reason we did that, not just for a premium presentation and it could be giftable, but because then we could shove the insert inside and Amazon never knew about it. So that was our big strategy, I guess, to pulling people up to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the simplest things are the most effective. I mean, some of the most effective Amazon sellers I know in Britain that are scaling up to several $1 million from, you know, probably at least double their revenue in the time that have been the masterminds for 2 years ago now, maybe doubled it twice, actually. And they're doing a lot of the basics well. I mean, you know, they really, for example, they brought in some examples of their latest inserts, which were a thing of beauty. They'd had a lot of design, a lot of strategic thinking around the positioning of their company has gone into everything they do, including the copywriter. They had a professional copywriter. They're thinking about their mission, all of that, the presentation, the branding. They put a lot of thought and care into the details, but the underlying strategy was, let's get these people to become loyal to us and buy again. And that's kind of a very simple sort of line, you know, through line to a lot of what you're saying is just winning people and not just do that terrible upfront competition where it's just you versus every other Amazon product out there. And it's purely on price, because as you say, that's just a losing game. So really, really like that. There's so many other things we could discuss. I just think that one other thing that I'd like to just talk about, this is a very sort of 60,000 foot view kind of episode, but that's okay. There's plenty of specifics we've had before and since, but I think sometimes that's the valuable stuff. Talk about the making sense of numbers, because a lot of this stuff that you're talking about depends on being really on top of your numbers and really understanding them. When you get a product, and let's say that you're doing something a bit more sophisticated, you've got a matcha bowl and you've got your matcha tea, you've launched them and you're looking at your numbers. What sort of numbers do you think are really critical to look at? And at what point, the really $60,000 question or whatever it is, when do I kill a product versus keeping it going versus just kind of, you know, committing to it full sale? That kind of question, always the critical one.
Awesome. All right. So obviously it kind of depends on your situation and where, like what you're trying to get out of your Amazon business. But generally speaking, if you use the thing that sells the thing strategy, which I lay out in Truth About Business book, essentially it's two things that really matter. Number one, can you acquire customers with your front end product as profitably as possible? At least break even or profitable. Okay. So like that's number one, can you get a bunch of people in the door? So if your front end thing is not selling, your back end thing is not going to sell, most likely, this model isn't going to work. So that's the big thing, is your front end thing going to take off like crazy? Okay. And then that is essentially your critical number. I talk about that in the book as well, but that's like the thing that predicts the health of your business. Okay. So if you get a bunch of sales on that product, the rest of your business is probably going to do well. Now, here's the second critical thing, is are people ascending from your front end product into your next product or the next, your essentially back end product line? And that number needs to get as high as possible as well, the conversion rate. So if people aren't getting from your front thing to the back thing, that's also a problem. And if you obviously make steps and you spend time and you deploy campaigns as best you can to get people to ascend to the back, but they're just simply not, then maybe that's not going to work. You have to plug in a different product to the back end, or you might have to make a change, or you might have to, you know, try something else. But those are the two big things to watch for in terms of numbers. And just kind of generally speaking, I mean, you should be able to do a lot of volume on your front end product. So like, depending on what niche you're in, that might mean 10 a day, that mean 100 a day, whatever that looks like. But then the back end of it, we really want to see, unless it's like consumable or something or high ticket or something, but you want to see 10 to 25%. That's where you want to be. Okay. And if you can't get there, then keep working to try and get there. And if you still can't get there, then it might have to make a change.
Great. I'm making, as ever, detailed show notes. So folks, if you want to get the show notes, go to amazingfba.com/blog, which is the blog for the Amazing FBA podcast. Now, over 350 episodes and counting. Making a ton of notes here. Of course, if you're looking for written notes, I guess I'm writing furiously and trying to capture all the value we're discussing here. I'm really enjoying the conversation because I like the strategy level stuff, because honestly, my view is that there's a few reasons why it's cool, but one of them is you get sick of talking about Amazon only strategies myself. It gets very samey, but guess what? If everyone else is talking about it, everyone else is doing it, and it's easy to copy that, right? Whereas this stuff, even if somebody's talking about it and they're implementing it, you can't just tell by running Jungle Scout on their listings. You can't reverse engineer this stuff without knowing pretty much everything about somebody's business. So I really love that from the defensibility point of view. But in the end, you know what? We've got a few basic concepts, but I'd love to hear a bit more about your book. So first of all, tell us how we get hold of it, because you've been teasing the book the whole way through. Very smart. You're a super salesman, just like the copywriter you are. And rightly so, because it sounds like it's got very cool stuff in it. So how do we get hold of this amazing book?
Yeah. So, unlike a lot of my other stuff, as you probably know, or I know, you know, is really expensive. So I used to sell, I sell books for hundreds or thousands of dollars per copy because they're that valuable. This book is different. I've made it, so that it's kind of more my legacy, and I want everybody to have a copy. So the last person that read it, I kid you not, they just tagged me they messaged me this yesterday. And they said that it literally changed their DNA. They said that's how important this book was for them in their business. And I thought that was really cool. So if that's something you think that might be a good idea for you, and you want more of this, then I would highly recommend getting a copy of the Truth About Business book. And Michael's going to have a link for you. But here's the good news. I made it so that everyone can get it. So most of my books are always hundreds or thousands, as I've said, per copy. This book, I've made a digital version for $1, literally. Okay. So guess what? Michael and I aren't getting rich off you. We just want to help you. So there's a digital version for $1. You can get started immediately, or there's a bundle which has the audio plus physical plus digital, rush shipping for only $27. Again, we don't make money off this bad boy. You will. And with that being said, Michael will have a link for you. And when you see what I put on page 37, a little bit naughty, I hope that's okay. But it's going to really blow you away. If you thought this was good, we're just getting started. So I highly recommend getting it if you don't hate money, if you don't hate really good stuff.
Excellent. That's what I love about you, Danny. You're like, shameless is probably the word, shameless salesman, but I mean, shameless is good. Why be ashamed of something if it's good? And certainly today's conversation just gives a flavor of the breadth of experience that you have to draw on. I mean, I think the fact that you've done lots of different business models means you're not obsessed with any single one. I think that's really helpful. And I love the blind bullet, you know, see what's on page 37. I've trained up my VA to do blind bullets, you know, the three shocking reasons why you shouldn't sell on Amazon, just to get people to click. It's all good fun and it's all part of the game and the enjoyment, I think, of business. I think it's so important to enjoy business and to have an X factor that other people don't. And I think you really exemplify both things. So Dana, great to have you back on the show. Really looking forward to reading your book. I've heard little bits of it. I've heard the audio book. I tried to listen to a bit before I came on. It certainly was very intriguing what I heard, but I'm looking forward to finishing it now. And discovering just the truth about business. And by the way, if you want to get a copy, folks, as Dana said, it's a very cheap product compared to everything else that Dana's normally offered. So it's not going to make either of us rich, but you can go to amazingfba.com/truth. I'll put a link there to whichever appropriate places you can get it from. And you can pick it up there. So Dana, just remains for me to say thanks so much for coming on to share the truth about business with the Amazing FBA audience.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.